This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, cat lovers. Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Burns. So, you know, one of the new things, and it's not even that new anymore, is telehealth, virtual visits, and doing what you can with your cat virtually versus having to go to a veterinarian or having to other ways communicate with somebody that could help your cat. Virtually is the way to go, but there's a lot of questions on how it works, what to do, is it good for all behaviors? My guest today is the founding partner of a virtual veterinary medicine company, and we have the answers for you. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Maggie O'Brien. She is the managing partner of Virtual Veterinary Behavior Medicine. Welcome, Maggie.
Hi, it's so nice to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. You're also a veterinarian yourself, correct?
I am, yes.
Okay, so I should have said Dr. Maggie O'Brien.
I answer to both.
Okay, thank you. Can you share your background with us?
Yes, of course. Yes, so I am a board-certified veterinary behaviorist. So just like in human medicine, where you can specialize in a certain area, veterinarians can do the same thing. So you can do cardiology or dermatology, and then I chose behavior because I think it's the best of all the specialties. So all I do from a professional standpoint is work with pet parents to help dogs and cats with behavior concerns. So it's a very fun, unique little area of veterinary medicine. And then personally, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I have a wonderful husband and a 1.5-year-old. And unfortunately, the husband is very, very allergic to kitty cats, but we do have a beagle mix named Mashed Potatoes as well.
What's your beagle's name?
Her name is Mashed Potatoes. I was on board, but it was not my original idea.
That's an adorable name.
She's a good girl.
Okay, thanks, Maggie, for sharing that. Let's talk about how virtual visits work, because people have heard more, I think, about Teladoc, where you're calling for, you're sharing symptoms of what your cat might have. But as far as behaviors and all that, that seems to be a little bit of a newer ground. So how would that work?
Yeah, so they're actually not wildly dissimilar to the appointments that we do in person. With behavior appointments, the vast majority of what we do during the actual time we meet is just a very long conversation with the owner. So we get a lot of background info about the pet's behavior. The owner fills out a very, very long questionnaire. We get a lot of medical history. And then when we meet with them, it's more just clarifying history, going through an assessment. So why do we feel like their cat has the behaviors they have? What do we feel like prognosis for changes? And then spend most of our time just talking through a plan. And so that's something that lends itself really, really well to the virtual world because it's mostly just that conversation, which we can do over a video call.
Thank you. What made you decide to create virtual veterinary medicine?
The biggest driver of doing virtual behavior medicine is the lack of access that a lot of people have to a veterinary behavior specialist. So there's about 100 people that are board certified in behavior, or about 100 veterinarians, and not all of those people practice clinically, and that's in the United States. So there's large cities without access to a local veterinary behaviorist. There are cities where the wait list to see a veterinary behaviorist is months long. And so one of the main goals was just to expand care and access to people to get help for their cats and dogs' behavior concerns. It's such a common issue that people face. And so to have that mismatch between available help and the need was an area that we felt like we could help with.
Well, I'm glad you opened the business because they're definitely filling a void. And I think also, especially with regards to cats and behavior, you're kind of, without having a veterinary behaviorist, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, I think there's a lot less available help in general for our cats, kind of across the board, but especially for behavior. Obviously, the world of dog training is massive. There's excellent help kind of across the board. There's obviously some types of training we don't use, but there's a lot of help available typically if you're looking for the right spots. Cats, there are absolutely people doing cat behavior and cat training and all of that, but not nearly to the degree that we have for dogs. And so, yeah, part of that too is trying to get help to these poor kitty cats that need behavior help.
Thank you. What are the best behaviors to discuss virtually? And I understand that it could be all. There could be some that are better than others. And there could be some that we wouldn't think of, but that would be a good behavior to discuss.
Yeah. So the most common issues we see in person and virtually, again, all lend themselves pretty well to virtual medicine. So we tend to select, just because of the specialty aspect, we tend to select for things like aggression, whether that's towards familiar people, unfamiliar people, towards other cats in the house. But we'll also see inappropriate elimination or compulsive type issues or nuisance type behaviors. And now with the ability of people to, you know, grab their phone and take a video really quickly of the behaviors they're seeing, most of these problems happen at home anyway. And so we can get a really good snapshot into what's happening that wouldn't happen in an exam room anyway. And so the issues that we see in person can be the same as the ones that we can help with virtually.
Okay, so let's do a sample test. So a sample, so how it would work. So our listening audience gets a great idea of how a session might work. Without going, of course, into extreme detail. Let's say that, and I have this with one of my crew, Charlotte with inappropriate elimination. That's just something that I think happens with a lot of homes, especially multi-cat homes. So what would be the process from start to finish? So they contact you and what happens?
Yep. So they make an appointment. And then once that's scheduled, we get medical records. So that's super important. We know cats hide illness really well, particularly if you're talking about inappropriate elimination. We want to see what the urine testing looks like, what their blood work looks like. So we get that full medical history. We get that long behavior history as well. If the owners want to submit videos prior to the appointment, they're welcome to do that. And that can be really illuminating. And then we sit down and meet over a video call. Those appointments are about an hour long. And again, we just go over, clarify the concerns, go through an assessment, and then we walk through what that plan would look like. And that varies depending on the case. But in some cases, it might be medication recommendations. There's always some level of behavior modification and environmental adjustments. And then we include follow-up as well. It'd be great if we could fix everyone in 1 hour. That's not typically how behavior always progresses. So it's important that we stay in touch afterwards and make necessary adjustments and figure out what's working and what we need to adjust on to make the best outcome.
Okay. And I know that they can vary, but how many sessions are typical? And what is your success rate?
That is such a good question about how many sessions. So it depends, which I know is a bit of an annoying answer, but it depends. Typically, what we try to set people up for is that we see each other once. We should absolutely be checking in about 6 weeks later because we want to know, you know, we need to be on the right track to some degree at that point. And then oftentimes we'll meet every 2 to 3 months, maybe for, you know, 6 to 8 months. It depends a lot on the issue. There's absolutely pets we see way less frequently. And then I absolutely have patients where, you know, we've been seeing each other every 6 months for the last 4 years. So it really runs the gambit of how much people like to check in and kind of where the status of the pet is too. Success rate. So that's also a very good question. I don't have specific numbers for you. We do select for some severe cases. The majority of pets were able to help. I would not enjoy my job if I felt like everyone was a lost cause. I had a pet parent ask me last week. He was like, can you even help behavior? I was like, gosh, I'd be bad at my job. He was at the very beginning. He asked me that. And I was like, gosh, this wouldn't be a fun job if we couldn't change anything. So the majority of pets were able to get into a better spot. Significant behavior problems are not something we generally talk about, you know, snapping our fingers and they're gone and they're never an issue again. But it's, can we get things to a place where the pet parents are happy, the cat or the dog is happy, and the plan feels manageable, and then we feel good if we're in that spot with them.
You know what? In listening to your responses, it feels like therapy for your cats through the pet parent.
Yes. There. So it is a lot of talking with the owner about what we want to implement. How do we respond to the problem? It is a lot of, again, we do discuss medications as veterinary professionals as well, if that tends to be part of the goals. But we do equate it a lot to human mental health professionals, because there's a lot of overlap between needing ongoing care in some cases and needing kind of a full management plan.
Yeah, I think it's great because, like you said, there is a void. And the other challenge is that cats are, you know, they're not so easy to transport to a vet or to a veterinary behaviorist in real life, like live versus over, you know, virtually. So I think it's a great idea. I think it's going to be an area of feline health that is going to be expanding, and you're on the forefront.
Yeah, I was just agreeing with you.
Okay. I love to be agreed with. So.
Don't we all?
So Maggie, are there any other tips you can offer our listeners if they're considering virtual behavior for their cats?
Yeah. So I would just encourage them to always talk to their primary care veterinarian. We onboard primary care as kind of part of the care team, especially with the virtual nature. So we want to get the medical records and everything. So it's always good to loop primary care into everything and bring up your behavior concerns. And then I would just see seeking care earlier rather than later. Behavior problems do not tend to get better naturally or on their own, especially things like inner cat aggression. We talk about cats being a little more prone to dispersal rather than reconciliation. And so if you have something brewing between the cats, the more repeated negative interactions they have, that can be really detrimental for our prognosis. So we're always advocates of the sooner the better to get behavior help.
Thank you so much. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. So stay tuned.
Gifts for my pets. Sparkle and love. Under the tree.
Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to cattreetray.com. Bring home a luxury French bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pet. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to OverTheMoonJewelry.com.
Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams without a care.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Dr. Maggie O'Brien. She is the managing partner of Virtual Veterinary Medicine. And we talked about virtual veterinary medicine in the first half. We're going to talk about something a little different, but related. So, Maggie, when we were prior to the show, we were talking, you mentioned something called stranger danger. And I thought that was just for little kids, but that's a thing for cats. So what is that?
So stranger danger we would think of as fear of unfamiliar people. So since cats primarily are going to live in their home and that's their whole world, we're usually referring to fear of visitors or service workers who might be coming into the house. So it's your kitty cat that, you know, people come and stay with you for a weekend and they're by the end, they're convinced you don't actually have a cat because they haven't seen the kitty yet. So just a cat that's nervous about unfamiliar people.
That's like all cats. I mean, the last time, so I have three. And so the last time I had people come over, they all disappeared. And finally, Dennis came out. He's the most, I hate saying this, but he's the most like uncat-like because he's part Maine Coon. He's pretty friendly and he'll check out things. And the others are just goodbye. I am done. You know, why are these people in my home? And during the holidays, we have a lot of people in and out. So what can people do to make sure their cats are not freaked out?
Yes. And like you mentioned, it's much more common that kitties are not as much Dennis-like and that they are more inclined to hide. So we'll see cats for all these different problems. And part of our questionnaire is, what does your cat do when visitors come over? And it's almost never why they're coming in, but it'll say hides every time. The majority of kitty cats do not want to be, you know, the greeters at the door. So when we see them, it's usually for hiding. It can kind of run the gambit. You can get cats that completely hide. You never see them. You can get the ones that are out but don't want to be reached for. And then you can get more unique, but we absolutely see occasional kitty cats who are more inclined to be offensive when they feel threatened. So they may approach, you know, bat or bite unfamiliar people that are entering the property, which is always a very interesting case for me to see. It's a little more dog-like, but we will see that on occasion as well.
And it's dangerous because cats carry a lot of bacteria.
Yes, that can be very dangerous. And it's I think it takes people by more surprise as well.
Okay, so we know the cat is freaked out, even though Dennis is okay with strangers, he's not the best. So what is the cat going through from the cat viewpoint?
So it's a perception of threat. So I find this person to be threatening. I find this interaction to be threatening. And the way that cats deal with threat is going to vary amongst individuals. So again, majority are going to hide. You're going to get some that will sit there and tolerate it. And then you'll get the more offensive kitties. But it's just the way that they perceive, I don't know this person, I don't feel safe around them, and so I want to keep distance from them.
Is there anything we can do as pet parents to make it easier other than, I mean, you can't go with never having people in your home, especially, I mean, even if you're not a people person, you might have the occasional repair person or significant other. So how can we make our cats more people friendly or tolerant of strangers in their home?
Yes. So we don't necessarily need to make them social butterflies. So it is always good to have an escape route available. If they want to hide, they can hide. If people notice that the cat's under the bed in the, you know, master bedroom upstairs away from everything, that would tell me that the cat is even too nervous with that setup. So if they're a cat that wants to hide, we try to set that environment up to lower stress. So white noise to block out the sound of the visitors. You can get bonus points if you add music on. And then you can provide them with food, toys, or pheromones or things to lower stress. If they want to be in the general area of the person, it's good to be their advocate and ask that people not pet them until they come up and ask for pets. People can throw treats and talk nicely to the kitty, but generally we want to be avoiding direct contact unless that cat is clearly asking for pets. So we kind of say not all people are huggers and not all cats want to be pet by strangers.
That's a great point because so often I will, and these are people that have cats, so they should be aware. They'll go to pet a cat. You know, like Molly, do not touch her. She's not a hugger. You are considered her royal friend if she lets you pet her.
Yes.
So that's how she rolls. And that's how a lot of cats are. So I don't get why people that are cat people go ahead with that. Maybe it's just an auto reflex, right? We see a cute kitty, we want to pet him.
I definitely get the instinct. I'm very good at fighting it, but I definitely understand the urge to reach for the kitty. I also think there's a potential general misconception that if a cat is accepting pets, and even if they weren't asking for them, that they probably really liked that and walked away like, oh my gosh, that was so nice. But generally, a cat that's just tolerating a pet wouldn't be a win for that cat. So you want it when it's voluntary on their end, meaning they come up and they, you know, nudge, or they put their little chin or their cheek next to you and want pets, then that's kind of an everybody wins. And that's going to make them more trusting of strangers and certainly more trusting of that person in the future.
Okay, thank you. Maggie, what do we do with our cats that are aggressive and attacking our guests, which is definitely difficult whether you have your family coming over or a service person coming over?
Yes, yeah, so those are more tricky. And as you indicated before, cats can carry disease in their mouth and their claws. So it's not a safe situation if they're going up and being aggressive. We generally say if you're having a party, if it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, if it's a plumber that's coming over to do things, those are situations where we're just going to separate the cat entirely. It's just not going to be worth the safety risk. The cat is probably going to be stressed out during any attempt to interact with those bigger gatherings. So it's going to be best for everyone just to separate them. If it's a person that you want them to get to know, so it's a friend that moved to town that you think is going to be over all the time, or if it's a new significant other, then we can do slow intros. It typically just needs to be, the cat needs to be harness trained, which is its own separate thing that you need to work on individually, but it absolutely can be done. And then again, we work on, you know, visitor comes in door, oh my gosh, it's our new friend, Steve. We love Steve, you know, and talk to them really nicely. Steve throws a bunch of snacks at the kitty cat. Regardless of if the kitty cat is showing aggression, we're just trying to make this kitty like, you know, the theoretical Steve in the scenario. So you try to build up that rapport, and sometimes it takes a few visits, but with repetition, you try to get them to the point where it's like, oh yeah, that's that person I like.
And a lot of this has to do with the fact that cats are very territorial.
Yeah, they can be much more inclined to be offensive in their own space. And so you'll get an occasional cat that it's usually directed at other animals, but you will get an occasional cat that anyone coming on the property, they're ready to go and tell that person to go away.
I think it's an amazing gift with anyone that when they're able to understand the mind of a cat, as you apparently do, because they are tricky.
They are. They're very misunderstood little kitties. And I think they deserve, you know, all the effort that you and people like you put into trying to help increase understanding of why they're doing the things that they do and how we can best help them live their best life when they're with us.
Well, I think what you're doing is amazing. Where can people find more info about virtual veterinary medicine and get started with what you have available?
Yeah, so our website is based on the name of the business. So it's Virtual Veterinary Behavior Medicine. So the website is VVBM, and then it's .vet, V-E-T. You could also just Google Virtual Veterinary Behavior Medicine or my name, and then it'll take you to that site, and it goes through the services, you know, how we incorporate primary care, what appointments look like, and then obviously more than welcome to email us at any point with questions or call our office with any questions. We're happy to answer anything. And that's the way you find us.
Maggie, thank you so much for coming on Catitude. I so appreciate all your information. Folks, be sure to Google Virtual Veterinary Behavior Medicine, and we will have on the page for this episode on PetLifeRadio.com under Catitude, we will have a bio of Maggie and as well as a link to the website. Again, Maggie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
I hope you all enjoyed the show. I want to thank Dr. Maggie O'Brien of Virtual Veterinary Behavior Medicine for coming on Catitude. Thanks to all the listeners of Catitude. I so appreciate that you've been so loyal for so long. Thank you, thank you. Thanks to my cat crew. They teach me things all the time. Thank you, Dennis, Molly, and Charlotte. Thanks, of course, to my amazing producer, Mark Winter. He works magic so that our podcasts sound amazing when you're listening. So thank you, Mark. And hey, remember, Lose the attitude. Have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.